Turn to the book of Acts in chapter number 16. The book of Acts in chapter number 16. And we are going to just look at a story here, honestly, that changed your life, whether you know it or not, made an impact on your life. The Word of God is relevant for our day. This isn't an archaic book of stories that have no meaning. It's relevant for you, and I hope by the time you leave here today, you'll be able to agree with that statement. But we're just going to look at a few verses here, and then we'll try to give an explanation of them. And then at the end, we're going to have an invitation where we can respond to the Holy Spirit of God as He would speak and as He would minister. And the story just happens to be about that very thing, about agreeing with the Spirit of God, about coming into unity with the Spirit of God. It'd be my prayer that this church would come to that place of just having a unity around the work of God and a patient obedience to the work of the Holy Spirit of God in your midst, as God desires to do a work in your lives and in the life of this church. God desires, this is a body. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, he likens the local church to a body, and this body of believers has a function among itself that it might be able to accomplish the purposes and the will of God within it. And Christ is the head of this church. He's the one that leads this church, and He does so by His Spirit that He's placed in you. That's how He does it. He has placed His Spirit in you that He might be able to come and to work together. And every part of this church must come together in unity of the Holy Spirit to accomplish His will. That's how God intended it to be. And so as we look here in Acts 16, if you would stand with me in honor of the Word of God this morning. If you're not able to, that's fine. But if you are able to stand, if you don't have a Bible, there's one provided for you right there in the pew. Someone around you, if you need help to find the text this morning, would be honored to help you. But Acts in chapter 16, and it says this in verse number 6. They have been about the second missionary journey, as it were, of Paul. And they're going, and they've been going to see how the churches that were started in the first missionary journey are doing. And they've been going and making sure they're all well. And it says in verse number 5, it says, So were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So that which was done before is doing well. And now Paul is getting ready to step into a new phase of ministry and is going to be going a different direction. And it says in verse number 6, says, now when they had gone throughout Pergia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assumedly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in the city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. So I want to preach this to you by the grace of God. Patient obedience. Patient obedience. I'll go and do what the Lord wants me to do. We need to learn this idea of patient obedience in our lives. Let's go to Him in prayer. Dear God, we thank You for Your love. Lord, I thank You for everybody assembled here today. And God, we are looking forward to fellowship here in just a moment. But in this hour, God, I pray that You just help us to give attention to Your Word. Lord, if there'd be a weight or a burden that is being carried, if there'd be something that is hindering anyone from being able to hear from you, to be able to allow your Spirit to minister unto them, I pray that they would lay that weight aside, that burden, that they would put it down, and God, that your Spirit would do a mighty work in their midst. God, we just thank you for your goodness and your love. We thank you for, Lord, your ability to direct us and to guide us by your Spirit and through your Word. And Lord, I pray that you just would allow that we might be able to glorify you with our lives, and that this church would be able to glorify you as a body in Christ. Lord, would you help us this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Acts in chapter number 16 is I would say, a key chapter to the Bible. The Gospels, the Gospel is now advancing, and it's a great work that is being done here in chapter number 16 as Paul receives what we refer to as the Macedonian call and is going to make his way over to Macedonia, which would be modern-day Greece, would be where that is located. In this day, it was called Macedonia, and he is going to go in the direction that God has directed him to go. And God knew, listen, God knows the end from the beginning, and God knows everything that's taking place in your life and in my life. And not only that, I think it's important for this text that we'd understand, God knows the direction and the migration of all mankind. He knows where everyone is going. He knows where the future is headed. And we can sit here and lose our minds and worry. And I encourage you to go ahead and vote. I'm for that. I think you need to get your ballot in. I think you need to vote according to the Word of God. And understand with me, we need to take an opportunity to do that. But understand as well, there's no politician that's going to make a change in this world so great that everything's become a utopia. It's not going to happen that way. We're looking forward to one day being in heaven where the God who knows all and is all in all and understands all. Listen, one day we'll be in heaven, but we're never going to find heaven here on this earth. That's not going to take place. You can search long and hard, and you can go after a whole lot of different directions and a whole lot of different thrills and things that this world has to offer. You're not going to find heaven here on this earth. But listen to me, you can follow a God who can give you an opportunity one day to have a home there. Amen. And we can experience a little bit of heaven here on this earth as we yield ourselves to His rule. That doesn't mean everything in this world is going to be wonderful, but understand, it is going to be in heaven, and our prayer as children of God and as people of God should be, thy will be done in earth as it is in... We should be living for that right now. And one day God's going to right every wrong and make everything perfect, but right here and now, we need to just understand God knows what's going on, and we ought to learn to submit ourselves unto Him and to His will. And God knew in the life of Paul and the life of this missionary team that was formed here to go out and do this work, He knew where He needed them to go, and He knew where He needed them to pioneer, if you will, with the gospel. And friend, listen to me, God still does know what He's doing. Amen. And He still knows where His business needs to be done. And He still is directing people. He still is. And listen, God still wants to direct your life. He wants to direct your life. He wants to have input into your life. He wants to have input into every individual here. You're going to have to make a decision that you're going to let God have input. God's given you a free will. God has allowed you to be a free moral agent to make decisions on your own behalf. God, because He is a God of love, loves every individual enough not to force Himself upon anybody, but offers His love to everybody that He might be able to help some people come to knowing who He is. God desires to do that. And He's still in the business of doing that. When you, in obedience, follow God's will for your life, it brings blessing. It does. When you obedience follow God's will for your life, it brings a blessing. You and I can all come to this understanding that when you were a child, when you were a child and you were had a mother and a father or a guardian that was over you, and you did that which you've been commanded to do, The trash got taken out. The dishes got done. The yard got mowed. The boxes got moved from one side of the shed to the other. Whatever the command might have been, the request might have been, and you were obedient under that command, there was blessing that was involved in it. And when you weren't obedient to that command, many times blessings didn't abound, right? Some greater than others, but understand, there was never a time when I didn't do what mom and dad told me to do, and there's never been a time as a parent now that my children don't do what I've asked them to do, and I come and I go, my goodness, I can't wait to bless your disobedience. I'm excited about this. Some of you, obviously, your parents bless disobedience all the time because you're not getting this illustration. But I'm telling you, normal parents don't bless disobedience. They're looking and striving and desiring that a child would be obedient. And then their heart's desire is to be able to bless your obedience. God's our Heavenly Father. He desires to bless our obedience. And He does bring blessing in the lives of those who are obedient. This act of obedience would... on the behalf of Paul and these men, would allow the gospel to be preached westward into modern-day Greece and into Europe. Think about that for just a moment as we look around this crowd, and we'd have to admit that the majority in the room are of a more of a European descent. The majority. The majority in this nation right now would be more of a European descent. And God allowed the gospel to move westward and into modern day Europe and to spread across modern day Europe. And praise the Lord, one day the gospel found its way to your doorstep and you called upon Christ as your Savior. And if you haven't yet done that yet today, I'm telling you, the Lord standeth at the door and knocketh, and He desires that you would be a recipient of the gospel as well. And it all started here because a man named Paul decided that he was going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit of God and obedient to the direction of God. And when he was desiring to go to the east, God said, no, 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 we're going to go to the west. And praise the Lord, I got saved and you have an opportunity to be. Amen. Praise the Lord. A great deal of Paul's writings would be as a result of this decision. As he writes the book of Philippians, the book of Corinthians, the book of Ephesians, come on, come on. All these churches that are going to be started and planted here in Europe and here in that modern day place we call Greece, all those churches and all the work that he's going to do and the letters that we now read in the New Testament and the work that he did, a majority of it, listen to me, that we read about later on in the epistles and later on in the life of Timothy and on in the life of Titus and in the life of Philemon, all books that he wrote, listen, it came as a result of his obedience under the Holy Spirit of God in this moment and in this time and in this passage of Scripture that we just read because of this decision. Paul's patient obedience, waiting on the Lord to guide his steps instead of just going where he wanted to go, made a huge impact in your life and in my life and for the history of this world. Because he was patiently waiting on the Lord to direct his steps that he might be able to do what that God desired for him to do. It is a sign of great spiritual maturity when we start allowing the Lord to make our decisions for us. It's a sign of spiritual maturity. When we stop just trying to just claw our way through life, and when we stop just trying to, I mean, just make everything work for ourselves, and we finally resign ourselves to the fact that only God knows how to make life work, and we finally get ourselves to a place to where we're going to allow Him to guide us and direct us, it's a sign of spiritual maturity. And come on, even if you've been saved a long time, and even if you've been around a church a long time, and even if you said, you know what, I know I've been led of the Spirit of God in the past, there are all times in each and every one of our lives where we'd say, you know, I kind of miss the leading of the Spirit of God. I miss the directing of God. I miss the desire and the will of God. And we need to get to a place of spiritual maturity that the only thing that we would desire and the only thing that we would want to fulfill is the will of God in and for our lives, understanding this, that it's our obedience that God's going to bless, and it's our obedience that's going to make the greatest impact on the world around us. It is. Paul's obedience in this moment made an impact in your life thousands of years later, and he never even knew who you were. He never even had a thought that there'd be some dude in Bellingham, Washington, named Josh Carter, that was going to stand and preach one day, because he was simply making an obedient act. And I want to say, too, you have no idea what your disobedience nor your obedience will do in the lives of others. And the only way you will know, friend, listen to me, the only way you will know the positive impact of your obedience is to be obedient. It's the only possible way of knowing it. You can't just say, well, we don't really know what's going to happen, so I can just do things as a place. No, no, no. You need to learn to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And Paul wasn't just interested in just good and bad, trying, well, I want to make a good or a bad decision today. I want to do, I don't want to do bad, I just want to do that which is good. That's not what he was struggling with. The sad truth is most Christians will miss the perfect will of God because they're busy doing some good. They're just interested. I'm just trying to try. I'm not going to do bad. I'm going to just do good things. I'm going to do nice things. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be polite. I'm going to say, do good works. I'm going to do a lot of good things. And the good that they do sometimes and many times, listen, it pacifies them in their conscience enough to allow them to indulge their flesh. We live in a day and time where Christians are busy indulging their flesh, where much of religion is pacified by the good works that they do. I went to church and I helped the little old lady across the street and I helped in the soup kitchen and I did all these different works and it's wonderful. You should do many works. You should be busy about the work of God. You should be busy about doing good things. It should never cross our mind. Should I indulge my flesh and do bad or should I do good? You should always do good. But we should also get to this, that there's never a time when we've done enough good to give ourselves an allowance to indulge our flesh in that which is bad. We never have. But Paul wasn't struggling there where most Christians struggle. Paul wanted the perfect will of God. Paul was looking at doing good things. Paul was looking at doing some great things. I mean, he wasn't looking to say, all right, do we want to go carouse these communities or do we want to bring them the gospel? He wanted to bring them the gospel. He just had to know where God was leading him to go do that. And so he was looking, God, we could go east and we could go here in verse number 6. We could go into Asia. We could go preach the word of God in Asia. But the Lord wasn't in them going to Asia. He said, well, didn't they need the gospel over in Asia? Certainly they did. Certainly they did. But that's not where God's perfect will was going to lead Paul. And did they not lead the gospel up in Bithynia? Well, this would be the northern regions of modern day Turkey up around the Black Sea. These are the areas he's talking about, just so you can visualize them on the map. These are real places with real souls and real people that needed to hear the true gospel of Jesus Christ. But listen, God wasn't interested in leading him in those places. No, no, no. That would have been good for him to go and preach the gospel anywhere. There's never a time in this world where it'd be bad to look at someone and say, listen, I have the answer for life. It's Jesus Christ. There's people that you're going to run into all over the place that have made a mess of their life. Their life is shambles. They're in debt. They're on second and third relationships and marriages. And their kids don't speak to them any longer. They're up to their eyeballs in debt. They don't know which way they're going to turn. They're praying for the new credit card offer to come in the mail. What they don't need is more indulgence of the flesh. What they need is a new life. And the only way they're going to find a new life is in Christ Jesus. And Paul wanted to take that message unto all these regions and all these places and to preach the gospel unto them. It was very good intent. But Paul also understood that in all the good that he was doing, he needed to do it in the perfect will of God. And he needed to be exactly where God needed him to be. And he wasn't trying to formulate his own plan, but he was trying to discern what the plan of God was for his ministry and his life. And Paul followed the leading of the Holy Spirit in his life. And in verses number 6 through 9, Paul sought the Lord's direction. Should we go up to Asia? No, that's not where we're going to go. Bithynia? No, that's not where we're going to go. Places that need the gospel, but not places that God wanted him. The greatest place you can be is where God wants you to be. The greatest plan you can fulfill is God's plan for you and going the direction God wants you to go and doing the purpose for which God intends for you to do. And you say, well, this would be good, and good is great. I'd rather you do good than bad. Friend, we need to get to the place of the perfect will of God. And Paul just was not just trying to do anything. God was waiting. Paul was obediently waiting on God that God would give direction. And Paul waited on God to speak. He had patient obedience waiting on the Holy Spirit of God to speak. And listen, and he did speak. He did speak. As he was waiting, you say, well, the Holy Spirit's kind of this mystical, you know, Halloweenish type figure of the Godhead. No, no, no. No, not at all. No, he's the third person of the Godhead. He's very active part in the role of your life and into your communication between our Heavenly Father God and your life here down here on this earth. God wants to be with you all the time, and he does so by the presence of his Holy Spirit. And we don't know exactly how each time the Holy Spirit moved. We do understand, though, in verse number 6, that as Paul said, listen, we need to go into Asia. Maybe we could go this direction. Let's talk to the Lord about it. Let's communicate with God about it. That he was forbidden of the Holy Ghost in verse number 6. He was forbidden to do this good thing and take the gospel east into Asia. The idea of being forbidden means to be prohibited, to bid or condemn against. And you say, well, how did he know that? By the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. He knew that this was a forbidden thing for him to do. That this is not that which God desired for him to do. And then in verse number 7, the Bible says the Spirit suffered them not to go into Bithynia. He said, maybe we can go into this region and preach the gospel. And the Spirit suffered them not. It means, the word suffered means permitted or allowed. That God said, this is not that which I would want you to do. This is not the direction I want you to go. And he would not permit him to go in that direction. And then in verse number 9 is one of the more clear that we could probably understand. When in verse number 9, Paul is seeing a vision of the Lord and is directed of the Lord in verse number 9. And many would stop and say, man, that, I wish God would give visions today. I wish I could see a vision. And there are some that would claim to have seen different visions. And I think it's important for us to understand, if we were to go over to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 13, that visions were still a part of how God ministered in that day. That they were still viable, if we can say it that way, in Paul's day. But and as well, throughout the book of Acts, in chapter number 9, Peter received a vision of God as a sheet was let down unto him. And God said, listen, that which I have called unclean, let no man call, that which I have called clean, let no man call unclean. And God used a vision to speak unto Peter and to move in the life of Peter to take the gospel unto the Gentiles. Many times we get to Acts chapter 9 and bacon is the only thing that most people could think of. But it wasn't about bacon, friend. It was about the gospel going to the Gentiles. I'm for bacon. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what that is about. That's not what that is about. It's about the gospel of God, Jesus Christ moving forward. And Peter was obedient unto it. And the gospel went unto the Gentiles. Some would today claim to have such leading of God today that, man, I've seen visions, and just like Paul did, you know, Paul saw visions, just like Peter did. Peter saw visions, and they claim to have seen visions or to receive some special word directly from God. Now, while I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, I do want to be biblical. I do want to be biblical. And I understand God speaking and God moving, and I think we need to learn to know, to discern those things, and to have an understanding of those things. But if you go over to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 13, Paul speaks directly about prophecies and about tongues and about knowledge and about vision. He speaks about those things, and he says, listen, when there's going to become a time in chapter 13 and verse number 8, he's going to become a time when that which is perfect, the Word of God, is going to come. Well, how is the Word of God going to come unto us? Well, then you can go over to 1 Peter in chapter number 1, and you'll understand this. The holy men of old, verse number 18, 2 Peter 1:18, holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have today, we have a vision given unto us directly from the Spirit of God. We have a word spoken unto us directly from the Spirit of God. And friend, listen to me. It is that which is perfect, and it is the Word of God. You don't need to be looking for some special vision today. You don't need some out-of-body experience today. You say, well, I just want to experience what they did in the Old Testament. God had a purpose for those things as he was trying to bring the gospel into place. But he also today has a purpose for his word. And this book is what is to guide us in the direction we're going today. If you want the leading of the Spirit of God, friend, listen to me. You need to get into the Word of God. You've got to get into the Word of God. And so when we understand that, listen, prophecies, tongues, special knowledge, those things are going to pass away. But the Word of God is eternal for us today. It was given to us by the Spirit of God. God wants to speak to us through it and by His Spirit. The Bible is a Holy Spirit-given Word by which He has spoken to us today. And God wants to guide you by His Spirit and by His grace into all wisdom and all things. Listen, and while things were a little different in Paul's day, and why God spoke a little different and moved a little different in Paul's day, God still has not left us without the direction of the Word of God. I know the mind of God. I can find the mind of God. I can seek the mind of God. I can search after the mind of God. But when a child of God, listen, when a child of God follows after and seeks the Lord's leading in his life, when you're following after and seeking after the Lord's leading in your life, there's going to be a couple things involved. Number one, prayer. Prayer. When you're truly seeking after God, you're not talking to all sorts of, oh, I'm going to have a multitude of counselors out here. I'm going to talk to every individual about all my problems, about all my needs, about what I'm doing. No. You need to be in touch with God. And you need to be communicating and talking to God. And Paul wasn't looking at the group of men that he was with and go, guys, let's stick our finger up the air, see which way the wind is blowing, and let it drive us. No. They were all just sitting there waiting. Paul, has God spoken yet? No, God hasn't spoken. Well, where have you talked? Well, I've talked about going up in here into Asia. I've talked about going over here to Bithynia. And the Lord said, no, the Lord's not given direction. He has not moved us in those directions. So we're patiently going to sit and be obedient to God and wait for God to speak. I love, you can see them sometimes on YouTube. I've seen several of them where this parent, it's kind of cruel and unusual punishment, but I love watching it. And this parent will sit a child down at a table or at at the buffet there in their kitchen, and then they'll put their favorite candy in front of them. Have you seen these videos? They put the candy in front of it. If you haven't, and you think it's cruel and unusual, I apologize. So they put this candy in front of them, and then the parent, they got a video. The child doesn't know they're being videoed, and then they say, okay, listen, we're going to eat this snack here in just a minute, but I've got to go get something out of my room, or I've got to run to the car, or I've got to run here or run there, and we're going to eat this snack in just a minute, but we can't do it now. Can't do it now. It's even better when there's a couple kids that are sitting there, and they're just looking at each other like, I've got to have those goldfish, right? I've got to have those gummy bears, right? I cannot wait. I cannot wait. And they'll sit there, and inevitably, I mean, every time, they'll sit there and they'll stare at them just a little bit. And it's awful. Parents should never do this. Don't ever. This is terrible, but it is fun to watch. They'll sit there. Some of them will sit there for a little bit just staring at that candy. And you can just see the wheels turning in their head. I've got to have that right now. And at some point, this overcoming urge comes across them. And it's better when there's a couple and you have one honest one and one that's you know, that doing right, and then you have the kid like me that's sitting there beside them. They don't share any of it. They just take all of it. I grabbed it first and shoved, and they come back and their mouth is full of gummy bears or of M&Ms or whatever it might have been. And mom pops back in the room and said, "What happened?" What happened? They weren't willing to be patient. And I'm telling you, many times in our life, it's not that we'll blame God on a lot of things that we just chose for ourselves. Well, I didn't do anything. I mean, we didn't necessarily do anything bad. If you disobey your parents, that's bad. Don't get me wrong. Kids, they said don't, Carrie. All right? But listen to me. Many times we'll just go in and grab what we want because we're not because God's moved or spoken, or we just, man, I was in the Word of God and I was praying, I was talking to the Lord, and this is the way God directed. No, it's just because we got tired of waiting and we got impatient, and instead of doing the perfect will of God, we're like, well, I'm going to do bad things. I have ill intent here. I just want to get something moving. I just got to get going. And this is America. And times were different back then. And we move at a faster pace than they did, to our detriment. We do. To our detriment. Paul was interested in allowing God to be the arbiter of what he did in his life. And he follows it. He follows and seeks after the Lord's leading, and then he waits upon God to speak to him. Child of God, he wants to guide you. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I'm just telling you, God has a perfect will for your life, and he wants to guide you by his Spirit, and he's going to do that through his Word. That's how he's going to do it. He's going to do it through his Word. If your ways contradict his Word, friend, listen to me, then your ways are wrong. I'm not trying to be confrontational or rude this morning. I'm just telling you, the only confidence I can have today in following his way and having his perfect will is when I do things in accordance to his Word. And understand, when I'm having trouble in this life and I'm in turmoil in this life, there should be a stop point that I would stop and I would ask the Lord, listen, am I doing things according to your Word? Amen? Am I doing things according to your Word? Maybe before you get to the place to where, man, our marriage is breaking up and we're leaving one another, we're dividing all our stuff and we're going our own separate ways, maybe you ought to stop at some point. Try to establish, am I doing things according to his Word? If you're constantly, listen, your life is constant turmoil, maybe you ought to stop and consider, am I doing things in accordance to his Word? God wants to guide you and direct you, and God will give you peace in this life. Paul didn't move until he was convinced that the Holy Spirit were to go. And he didn't just push forward to do what he wanted to do. It's not what he did. He didn't just do something good to pass the time. He sought God and waited. And I'm telling you, it's hard to wait on anything. But patience is vital for the child of God and for your life to be able to have the perfect will of God. We talked about it in Sunday school. We talked about James in chapter 1. It came up again in Sunday school as well. But listen, let patience have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The Holy Spirit of God, according to 1 Peter and chapter number 5, wants to strengthen, establish, and settle you in this life. Not to have you tossed up and down. Not to have your life in uncertainty. Not to have your life going, well, we just thought we were going doing the right thing. I'm telling you, instead of getting to a point where we can just throw our hands up in the earth, we thought we were doing good. We thought we were doing right. Why don't you slow your life down a little bit and start being patient and waiting upon God? Amen. Some of you are dozing off on me. Paul obeyed the Holy Spirit of God when he heard from God. He obeyed the Holy Spirit of God immediately. Look in verse number 10. And after they had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. He did not delay to do what God wanted him to do. He was zealous to do the things that God had called him to do, and to do them immediately. They didn't waste any time at all. We say this over and over again to our kids, but it's still true when you're an adult. Delayed obedience is disobedience. We need to follow the will of God. We need to follow after obedience to the Word of God. And when you have sought the Lord's leading, delighted yourself in the Word of God, friend, listen, move then when he speaks. Say, well, I am seeking the leading of the Lord. I'm delighting myself in the Word of God, but he hasn't spoken yet. Then don't move. Don't move. But when he speaks, don't let anything get in your way either. Paul's obedience, listen, it impacted souls both then and now. If you're to go a little further on in this chapter, I don't have time this morning. You can say amen to that as well. We're not going to take time this morning. But verses number 14 through 15, there was this lady by the name of Lydia. This lady, she's one that had fun. She had a lot of money. She was well off. She was a seller of purple. And so she had all this money. But I'll tell you what she didn't have. She didn't have Christ. And Paul went and preached, and there's a lady named Lydia that came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because Paul was willing to go and be obedient to where God wanted him to go. In verse number 16 through 18, there was a woman that had the spirit of divination, and people made gain off of her. She was demonically oppressed by a spirit, and people were taking advantage of her and making gain of it. And Paul went he cast out the spirit out of her, and she was in her right mind again. And they got upset about that. And so she came to saving knowledge, but they were so upset about that that they threw him in prison. And as Paul and Silas were beaten and thrown into prison there in Philippi, they sang praises unto God and gave glory unto God that they could be persecuted for the work of Christ. And as they were there was an earthquake that came, and the centurion that had all this position and power came along, and he was upset about what had taken place, thought the prisoners had all gone away, was getting ready to take his own life. And Paul said, wait a minute, don't take your life. We're all still here. We're all accounted for. And he gave the testimony, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I'm telling you, Paul made a great impact in that city and in that place. He did. He made a great impact. But it wasn't just in his day that an impact was felt, that people turned to Christ. It was also today that an impact is being made for the work of Christ. The gospel came to your door and to mine. And if you're here and you're lost today, it's coming to you right now. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That you might be able to receive it and be saved. That he would become the payment for your sins. I'm telling you, the gospel has come to you right now. The gospel is going to go into, has now gone into Europe. And understand with me, it went first to the city of Philippi. Philippi was a chief city, it says in verse number 12. It was a chief city of Macedonia. Philippi was, if you're not aware of history, this is an amazing thing to go and study. Philippi was named after Philip of Macedon. Philip of Macedon was a great leader in his own right, but his son we would know as Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great would have this huge empire, Alexander the Great had an empire that stretched from his region of Macedonia and modern-day Greece clear down into modern-day India. That's how far and vast his empire was. And there is an Aegean highway that ran through Philippi and ran down as far as into India. And Philippi was a central trade route in Greece from Rome. And I'm telling you, as the gospel went to Philippi, the opportunity for the gospel to spread from Philippi into Asia, into Bithynia that Paul desired to go through of his own flesh and to do a good work over there. Understand, from Philippi, understand with me, great opportunity would have been for the gospel to spread up there. But not only that, God knew that the migration of man was moving westward, and God sent him to the west and to Europe. And listen, while that highway went as far as Asia, and the influence of the city of Philippi went as far as Asia, the influence of city, because it also says in verse number 12 that it was a colony. It was a colony. That means that it was a very strategic city to the capital of Rome. And they would have put citizens of Rome into the city of Philippi, and they would try to, if you will, Romanize that culture and that society and have them to change their thinking and have them to start thinking not like Macedonians any longer, but now as they've been conquered by Rome, they need to be thinking as Romans. And so it being a colony would have had great ties to Rome, and Rome was stretching as far east at this time into Germany and into Spain. And they're conquering of the world. I'm telling you, when we do things God's way, even though we say, well, it's just a simple decision, and I'm going to do good no matter what. No, listen to me. Listen to me. We need to be seeking after the perfect will of God. Billingham Baptist Church, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Don't be impatient. Don't be busy to try to do something good. But listen, but also in your waiting, don't forget to move when the Lord speaks. Move when the Lord speaks. Don't let anything stop you from performing His will. That, listen, if God's for it, we're for it, and we're going to be about it. The problem is that many people are busy uniting not around the will of God, but around their own will, even in church today. We're busy uniting around everybody. We're busy seeking after everybody uniting around us. Everybody reuniting around me. Everybody uniting. We can all get along as long as everybody is of my opinion. Come on, I can tell you guys are tired today. But come on, that's not how a body works. No. A body works when all the parts are in unity together, and it can't be around your opinion or my opinion or this brother's opinion over here or this sister's opinion over here. It has to be centralized around the will of God and the leading of the Spirit of God and the moving of the Spirit of God. And we have to be desirous, not that our opinion would be that which is given preference, and not that our personal opinions are that which are given preference, and not that which would be to my pleasure is given preference, but that the will of the Lord be done. And that all is done that we might be able to look back and say, God is moving and God is directing and God is accomplishing His will, not mine. Maybe you could give testimony today of times when you got what you wanted. I mean, you got exactly what you wanted. You can go through the Word of God and find men who got exactly what they wanted. It was not in the will of God, and I'm telling you, it didn't help them, it didn't bless them. It can ruin a church, it can ruin a life. When you bullheadedly desire, I'm going to get what I want, I'm going to get everybody around to my opinion, and I'm going to have my will done. Instead of being yielded unto the Spirit of God. Friend, listen, don't just do good, be convinced of the Lord's will. And then in patient obedience, allow God to bring a unity into your life. Listen, and into this church, that He might receive glory in and through you and this body. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed today.